Amen. Thank you, guys. What a great team you are. You know, I feel like I am at Rhema US when I come and listen because Caesar has that same anointing to share here. You know, Rhema US, as I have told you, it really changed my life because I learned the truth of the Word of God. But if someone were to ask me what was one thing I learned at Rhema, and it was love. You know, some people say faith, some people say about healing, some people say how to do ministry. But for me, I learned about love. I learned about what love means, what that looks like from Him, and how I can love other people. And so, today we've had an amazing series of events and teachings and from Pastor Haley last night. And I'm sure that you guys feel like you are full of information to take out. But I want to share with you some practical things about love. Now that you're free, what does that look like once you leave this conference? How do I make that work in my own life? So, won't you say it with me? Are you free? Oh. Oh, hallelujah. The greatest sound in the world is children laughing. That's my favorite sound. There's nothing I'd rather hear than little children laughing. And I think that the Lord feels that same way. Because when you hear a child laugh, there's just such freedom in their laughter, isn't it? There's no restraint. They just laugh from their belly. Won't you say it with me again? To God. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to be free. Well, thank you for those of you who purchased my book. It's called No One Could Know. And if you were not able to get it today, you can also download it for your phone from my website or on your Kindle device, whatever your e-readers are. And they do sell it here in the bookstore, 150 kwacha. And if you buy the Kindle version, it's 40 kwacha. So it's still kind of reasonably priced. And if I may ask you a favor, to write a review on Amazon after you read it. And here's the thing, the interesting thing, you know, when you step out and obey God, like I did with this book when He put it on my heart to write it, I knew that it would impact women who have been through an abortion or who have been through rape and prevent, many women have decided to have the baby rather than abort since reading my book. And I expected those things, but I did not expect the number of men who have responded and said, that book really is not for women. The book No One Could Know is for men, but I don't think all of them could handle it. Because it teaches how to treat women, and it gives them a responsibility for their actions and what's happening inside of us when we go through such things. I am a newspaper reporter on my job, and I was interviewing someone from my local area who was given command of an American Navy ship in Japan. So he phoned me from Japan, and we spoke about his promotion to being commander for about 30 minutes. And at the end of the interview, he said, "So you've written a book?" I said, "Yes, I have." And he said, "Well, I Googled who was going to be interviewing me. I was curious. And I found your book and I read every review on Amazon. And I'm getting that book on my ship library." And I had someone from the Army, a man, contact me and say, "I'm working on getting that book into all of our Army-based libraries as part of our resiliency program." And two American Air Force chaplains have my book as well. One of them, his name is Dang Por. He's a lost boy of Sudan who is now, you know about the lost boys of Sudan, refugee. He's now a chaplain in the Air Force in America. And four Marines have contacted me and said that they too were raped. Men. One in 71 American men have admitted that they were raped. Admitted. How many have not said? And one in four American women have had an abortion by the time they're 45 years old. One in four. So you think maybe at this conference, if we were to calculate one in four, that would be the American ratio of how many American women have had an abortion. And so no wonder our world is in such a mess with the aftermath that comes when going through an abortion and such things. Rape, one in five American women have admitted or reported that they were raped. But God has come to set us free. And what's glorious about Him, when you are set free of your past, it genuinely is like you're removed from it. Many of my friends have said, I can't believe that that's you. You talk about that, but it doesn't seem that actually happened to you. And sometimes I even think, wow, I guess that actually did happen to me because I'm so removed from it. When you're free, you have no chains that bind you. You have absolute freedom emotionally as well. But how do you carry on in the relationships and even with the Lord to keep your mind free? So get your pens ready, okay, because we're going to go through some great things. So when Jesus spoke Matthew 11:28 to me, you know the verse, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he spoke Isaiah 40, verse 8, actually was the first one he spoke to me. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, how many of you know it? The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. But you see, when you take God at His word, you don't have to wait. How many of you have been to hospital or to a clinic and you've had to wait at least 5 hours to be seen by the doctor? Anyone 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours? You wait a long time before you can even get into the doctor. But God's not that way. He said, come. Jesus already made a way. Yes, the doctor is in. He will see you now. You can come in straight away. There's no waiting on God. He's waiting on you. Amen. But the next thing God did is He showed me, He took me back to John chapter 3, verse 16. And you know the verse, John chapter 3, 16, for God so loved the world that He made us work even more hard for the rest of His love to be shared upon us. God so loved the world that He punished us with sickness. Say it with me. For God so loved the world. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But do you know the next verse that comes after this one? God took me straight there to verse 17. Read this with me. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And I thought, how can this be? God did not send His Son. He was not condemning me. God was not condemning me. And He's not condemning you. Jesus saw the mess. And like some people like to say, I love you so much. If you make a mess in your pants and fall down in it, I will love you stink and all. God says, I see your mess. I smell your britches. And I'm going to love you and roll up my sleeves and help you clean it up. And that's what Jesus did. He got in that, and He took it on Him so we don't have to. And by Him, we are clean in Jesus' name. That's good news. But He also opened up Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. Now, you see, there's a thing about conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict us. And that means he will tell us, you see that mistake right there that you made? You need to clean that up. And you can say, yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't see that. But of course, he sees everything, right? So we may as well say, oh, look what I broke, Lord. You know, when you break something, sometimes you're afraid to tell the person, I broke this. But God says, yeah, I know, let's fix it. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. When you walk in the Spirit, you can have peace in the midst of a storm. My oldest son, Matthew, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I received a text from him. He was driving with some friends through the night on a 16-hour drive to go on holiday, and they happened upon a very big storm. Now, my son Matthew is 21. He is always the one who's very quiet. If I ask him, Matthew, you just went to youth camp. You've spent a whole week with your friends. How was it? Good. He's the one, Matthew, how was this thing? What, you know, you are so excited. You've been promoted to this, or you received this prize at school. How does that make you feel? Good. That's Matthew. Okay, he's my other son and my daughter. They will tell you all the details. But Matthew, good. And I very rarely receive texts or information from him. So it was very strange that I would receive a text from him, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. But he was on the route with these friends to go to our family's place. And the text said, driving through a desert storm, I remembered a song you taught me in Botswana. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And that was the end of the text. And I thought, when did I teach him that song? It had to be only from when he said he remembered it when I taught it to him in Botswana. He lived in Botswana from the time he was 4 until he was 6. Now he's 21, and he's remembering the word of God that he learned from the time he was 4 to 6. You see, the word of God, when it's planted in your heart, the Holy Spirit will remind you when you need it. And you see, I had learned that song when I had first moved to Tulsa from New Mexico. The New Mexico in the United States is desert like this. It's very dry. It's not very often that we have rains. We don't even have a rainy season. We only have maybe 8 inches of rain the entire year. That's all that we get. In Iowa, where I live, we can get almost that much in one rainstorm. So it's very, very dry. Not much happens with the weather. It's just dry or cold. We might get a little bit of snow. However, when you live in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there are many storms, many tornadoes. And so that's when I decided I would get very close with the Lord. It was like, I see that I need this. And the first year that I lived in Tulsa, there were 11 tornadoes that went through the nearby the city in that 1 year. And you've seen tornadoes on TV or online. Have you seen any tornadoes here in Zambia? Yeah, they're very destructive winds that go how fast? 300 kilometers, miles per hour in a spin, do a lot of damage. But this song, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light. Will you sing it with me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I don't know any other words, and I don't know what happens after that, but that was enough for my son. And he was singing it over and over and over. Because the word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And when my son was driving through the desert in the middle of a very scary storm, it was the light that he needed in that storm. The word of God will keep you rooted and grounded when the storms of life come, okay? And the deeper your roots are, the firmer you can stand against the storm. Amen? Amen. But Psalm 119, verse 105, is what that came from. I just wanted to give you that reference. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you're wondering, what do I do with my life? You know where to go. To the Word of God. He will show you the way. But what do you do when you have these storms in your mind? You ever had a mind storm? You think, how can I even sleep? Yeah, these mind storms, they scream and they howl and they cause tornadoes that just spin all your ideas and you don't know which way is up. But 2 Corinthians 10:5, here's what you do. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Okay? We talked earlier about casting our cares on the Lord. Well, what you do in these storms and you think, okay, now that I'm free, I'm going to live free. How do I find this kind of freedom when there's a storm going on in my mind? You grab hold of those ideas and those thoughts and you cast them down. Amen. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you bring that into captivity. It's trying to bring you back into captivity to be chained. You watch, the devil will try to put you back into captivity. That's going to happen. But now, you know what to do. You take those thoughts and you cast them down and you capture, bring them into captivity and every thought into the obedience of Christ. Amen. It's like you have a TV station or you have a TV in your home. You change the channel. Amen. You know how to change the channel. On your TV, right? You change the channel in your mind to think about something else. You don't just think, okay, I'm going to ignore that thing. You have to replace it with something else. I said you have to replace it with something else, something better, amen, such as the Word of God. The Good News translation says, we pull down every proud obstacle that is raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. You make it obey Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 of the Voice version of the Bible, listen to this. It says, do not allow this world to mold you into its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. Make your mind new again. As a result, you'll be able to discern what God wills and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. But listen to this. In verse 9, it says, love others well. Don't hide behind a mask. I think that's very interesting. That in here, it's talking about not letting the world mold you. And then all of a sudden, it talks about love. Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Don't pretend like you. Oh, you're so sweet. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then behind their back, you go and say something else. If you're talking about someone behind their back, that displeases the Lord. And you're causing webs of problems for yourself when you talk about someone else. If you have a problem with someone else, who should you go to? That person. Yeah. Love authentically. So if you're having problems, maybe you're not loving well. You're not loving someone well. It goes on to say, despise evil. Okay? Well, what's evil? Talking bad about someone. That's evil. Watching things that you ought not to. Being entertained by things that displease God. Don't be entertained by things of the world. Don't give place to the devil. Pursue what is good as if your life depends on it. Because your life does depend on it. When you pursue good as if your life depends on it, then you value that thing more. And God will make sure that you are valued and you'll have the joy that you need. Live in true devotion to one another, loving each other as sisters and brothers, not lust. So, if you're having trouble coming out of a past of lust, lusting after other things, you're thinking about other, you know, sexual things and you're not married, or you're thinking about things wrongly or in a perverted sense, you know, you see pornography by accident on your phone. Just by, if you're on Instagram, if you're on TV, the commercials, you don't even have to try to see pornography. It's just there. But it's a trap of Satan, because then you have to pretend like you're good enough and like you are someone who looks like that. And then we have to decide to make sure that we measure up to that standard. You know who Kim Kardashian is? Beyonce. These people are not examples of Jesus Christ. When we follow after the Lord, Jesus is our example. And we operate in purity. And when we learn how much He loves us and we keep our minds pure, then we can live successfully and we can love successfully and we can love purely, not in a perverted or tainted sense. You know, how many of you, if you made a cake and then you found out that maybe your child had made a cake, but they got just a little bit of the dog's dew inside the cake. It was just a little bit. Just a tiny little bit got into... Mama, I don't know how it happened, but the dog's dew got into the cake. Would you eat the cake? But what if they told you, no, it's just on this side, because I knew that it was put in the oven this way. You would not want anything to do with that cake. You would not even want your... Well, maybe you would want your enemy to eat it, but that would be a problem. We don't want our enemies to eat dew cake, right? So, but that's what we do. When we entertain our thoughts, we have a portion of the world and we have some of God and some of our own ideas and some other ideas from other people coming in. And what kind of recipe do we have then? It's a mix. But God, when He serves you dinner with the Word of God, and you meditate on those things, and the Word of God goes in your eyes, in your mouth, and into your heart, you don't have to worry. Is this going to make me sick? No, it's going to make you well. Amen. Amen. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be first to honor others by putting their first. Do not slack in your faithfulness. Let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up and boiling over as you serve the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Now, verse 14 of Romans chapter 12 of the Voice version says, if people mistreat or malign you, bless them. I've had plenty of opportunity to bless a lot of people. How about you? Always speak blessings, not curses. Well, Christians don't speak curses, do they? If we're speaking bad about someone, we're speaking a curse over them. Be careful with your words. We want to speak life because it comes back on us, right? Always speak blessings, not curses. If some have cause to celebrate, join in the celebration. And if others are weeping, join in that as well. Verse 16, work toward unity and live in harmony with one another. I like that. This amazing band, the harmonies that they have is just stunning. It makes such a beautiful sound to fill the room. And they're working in unity. And that's how God wants us to be able to flow in unity and make a beautiful sound unto the Lord. Hey, it brings so much more joy. Avoid thinking that you're better than others or wiser than the rest. Instead, embrace common people and ordinary tasks. Do not retaliate with evil, regardless of the evil that comes against you. Try to do what's good and right and honorable as agreed upon by all people. And if it's within your power, make peace with all people. Again, my loved ones, do not seek revenge. Instead, allow God's wrath to make sure justice is served. God will defend your cause. Turn it over to Him. For the scripture says, revenge is mine. I will settle the scores. Okay? And that's a very important thing. So in the Bible, we see so many things about the Word of God and love in that way. But in 1 Corinthians 13:5, in Weymouth's New Translation, it says, love does not blaze out in passionate anger, nor brood over wrongs. Can you show that next slide? Okay. It's kind of funny. That's what we do. We think someone is coming at us like this. That's how we see them. And so we have on our protective gear and we come out them with a stick of dynamite and we're going to blow them up when maybe we don't even understand this thing. Maybe he's coming. How do we know what this creature is saying? It looks like he's saying, like I did, he's coming as a threat, right? But maybe he's coming to say, hey, I need your help. My sister's sick. Will you come pray for her? You don't know. But we come at these people without listening to what they're saying first. We think they're saying one thing, but really we're not listening because we're thinking about what we want to say next or what we have, what our plans are. Love does not blaze out in passionate anger nor brood over wrongs. And I want to tell you this story. There was a story of Amos and Andy. Now, Amos was always poking Andy in the chest. Hey, Andy, how you doing? I'm fine. Leave me alone. Every time he would see him, he'd poke him in the chest. Hey, how you doing? Amos was poking Andy. So next time, Andy said, I know what I'm going to do. I've got this stick of dynamite over here, got dynamite over here, and I've got this bomb. And when he comes and he pokes me in the chest, he's going to blow up. He's going to set off this bomb. You just watch. When he comes up to me, hey, how you doing? But what's, and that is unforgiveness. We think that we're hurting this other person by watching them, and we put these airs on between us, and we think, I see you. I remember what you did to me. You are always poking me in the chest when you see me. It's irritating. They hurt you, or they hurt someone you love, and you're angry at them. But when you have unforgiveness toward them, it's only hurting you. You're going to blow yourself up. Here's another bit of practical advice that you can take home with you. Don't blow yourself up. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:5 in the Weymouth translation says, love does not behave unbecomingly, nor seek to aggrandize herself. Nor seek to aggrandize herself. Can you show this next slide, please? Yes. I, me, me. How many of us hear songs like that from people we know? It makes them a little harder to love. I, me, me. Love does not aggrandize themselves. Love thinks better of the other person. Amen. You know what aggrandize means? Brag, exaggerate, overstate, embellish, or have to make self bigger because you have been diminished or betrayed. And that's easy to do when you have been made small. You try to make yourself bigger to compromise for that. But let God lift you up. And when you see how much He loves you and you get to know His love, then you're okay. You say, no, my Father loves me. I'm His favorite. And you're His favorite. And you're His favorite too. We're His favorites. Love is never tired of waiting. Love is kind. Love has no envy. Love has no high opinion of itself. Love has no pride. Love's ways are fair. Take no thought for itself. Love is not quickly made angry. Love is easily approachable. Maybe you have some people in your life, they're not easy to approach. You think, I don't know if I dare ask them this thing because I don't know how they're going to respond. That person needs to walk in love. Love makes you easy to approach. Do you understand? Your children should not be afraid of you. They should respect you. Let your no be no. If you tell them something, mean it forever, whether it's yes or no. Be able to back it up. Amen. But you should be easily approached. So, if someone could bring up my backpack, if there's someone who could bring up this red backpack here, I would like to show you about some of the things that we do. We carry these things. Are you okay? You see, we have these things in our life. Pride is what we're talking about, right? Pride. Are you okay? Thank you. We have these things. Thank you. We have the. Thank you. This is the problem. We carry these things, such as pride. Okay. All right. Pride. We aggrandize ourselves, and we keep them in the backpack of our lives. And we have these other things in our lives, such as, hang on. Oh, I've been talking about this one. What do you think it is? We carry lust. Can you see this? Lust. And we hide it in the very corners of our lives, so people don't see those secret pages on our website. Maybe your children have been to those websites and they changed the name in the history. So if you look at the history, you think, oh, they've just been to the playing Candy Crush again. But if you look closer, it's the wrong kind of website. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, other types of sin, such as God is dealing with you and you just simply, you're not obeying Him. You know, if God is telling you something, you need to obey because there's the blessing. But you think, no, God, I don't want to go to Rhema. Why would I do that? I don't want to go to Rhema. That's not in my plan at all. I have a 12-year plan, and when I'm 32, then I'm going to get married. I'm not going to follow your plan because I know me better. Here's another problem that a lot of people don't know, that the Bible says that this is sin. Worry is sin. Oh, my. My grandmother, she was a prize worrier. And she liked to carry those things in her life. She could tell you what her sisters did to her in 1922. You're laughing because you have those lists as well. Okay, now here's another one. These things. Okay, I'm using apostrophe. Distractions. This is your Candy Crush. This is your Facebook. Father, I ask you to forgive me for I have sinned. Okay. And we keep these things wrapped up in our lives and we hide them in the secret places of our heart. So then, when we carry on with the Lord, we say, no, it's okay. I'm doing just fine. I'm going through life. I have no problem. Yes, I'm walking in the joy of the Lord. Hello, Pastor Haley. I'm happy to serve you at church today. What bag? I don't have a bag. I'm okay. And then when you walk away, we try to hide it. What do you have in your bag? Oh, just some things that I need. I like to carry some extra things along with me. And then God, this is really heavy. And then God starts dealing with you to lay these things down. Okay? Now, you have laid some chains down here tonight, today, this morning, last night. You have cast your cares on the Lord. I just want to ask you one last time. Have you cast them all? Okay. Going to give you one more chance. One more chance. Going fast. Going once. Going twice. Are there any secret things like worry? What about my finances? What about my children? What about my? But you see, the reason God says worry is sin is because you're not trusting Him. He's like, just trust me. Just trust me. Have faith in me. Did I say it or did I not? Are you calling me a liar? Well, it's like you're calling God a liar, saying, no, I don't trust you. Why would I trust you? Well, the Bible says He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Now I'm a little winded. Okay. So you need to get rid of the rocks in your life. Because have you ever had kidney stones? They hurt when they pass. I don't know, I've just heard, but I had gallstones, so I don't have a gallbladder anymore, but I know how that feels. But you see, these stones hurt when they pass. When they pass through you last night, some of them hurt you because it's painful to remember these things. The weight of it is too much for you to bear. But when you have cast those things on the Lord, He cares for you. He can take it. You can throw something like this at Him. And He says, yeah, give me your best shot. Those were the 39 lashes that He took, the beatings, the hanging on the cross. He took that all for you. Because He wants you to be free. He has made you free. And now you have to remain free. Psalm 91, here's what you do. Verse 1 and 2. Of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty God, whose power no foe can withstand. I say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom do I trust? Do you know these verses, Psalm 91? You think calling the emergency line, this is also considered the soldier's prayer. But he who dwells in that secret place, what is the secret place? It's a place in your heart where you can just go, Abba, Father. And you can pray in the Spirit. It's that secret place. When you dwell in the secret place of the Lord, you're secure, like my son driving through the storm in the night. And you can say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, in whom do I trust? And you can carry on and say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Nothing shall in any way hurt me. And you can get bolder and bolder and firm on the word of God because these are promises, declarations that He made for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Was it someone else? You let them come in and steal from you? Or was it your own mind? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, for you, brethren, you've been called to liberty. Say, I've been called to liberty.
I've been called to liberty.
That's freedom. I've been called to freedom.
I've been called to freedom.
Only do not use freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Isn't it interesting? For he finds freedom and love working together here again. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you think, oh, but I don't love myself very much. Yeah, you do. You think about yourself all day long. He's not asking you to love your neighbor more than yourself. He's asking them to love your neighbor as yourself. Come on. Think about your neighbor as much as you think about yourself. You think about yourself all day long. What do I want to eat? What do I need? What do I? My children, right? Maybe not you. I'm in the wrong church. Other churches, other people, other Christians in Namibia think like this, not in Zambia. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how do I love them? You know God loves you. And He shed His love abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He even gives you the way out. 1 Corinthians 13:4, we all know it. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious, love does not boast, brag, or strut about. I mean, it's good to have swag, right? In Christ. The good kind of swag, knowing that you are who you are in Christ. Yes. Love is never rude. If people call you rude and you say, no, that's just my personality, well then. I think you need a trade-in. you can come to the altar again and get a trade-in. Jesus has a new personality for you. It's the love of God that comes in when you get born again. Love doesn't tally wrongs like my grandmother did since 1922. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts, it hopes, and endures no matter what. But I want to tell you this. Love is not a sidewalk for people to walk on. Okay? A lot of Christians get confused and think, well, now because I'm loving them, I must let them do this. But that's not love. If someone is mistreating you, then you can tell them, listen, I'm not going to allow you to treat me that way because that's not love. I care about you and I don't want you to behave in a dysfunctional way. But I tell you, I won't let anybody else treat you that way either. Okay? I won't allow you to misbehave so badly because I care about you. Okay? And you care enough about yourself to say no means no. How do you say no in your language? Okay. No means no. And you need to make that clear. 2 Corinthians, just two more verses to share with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11, Paul is giving his final greetings here, and he says, dear brothers and sister, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. And these are my last words to you as we close tonight. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. You know, a lot of times we think, okay, I've grown this far, but I don't know if I want to go on to the university of God. I think I've learned enough because he's been dealing with a lot of my stuff, and I want to just stop right there. But he wants you to go on and get your master's degree in God and your doctorate degree in God, in the Word, and because we're continually growing in the Lord. And the reason he wants you to continually grow is not just because of you, but because of these neighbors. And because of these creatures that come at you that you think that they're saying one thing, but maybe they're coming to you and they need your help and they need your love. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus has made you to triumph in Christ. Amen. So I want you guys to know I have a love for you, and I certainly know Pastor Haley definitely has a love for you, and the people on her staff have a love for you. I encourage you in my last time with you, in my last minutes here at the conference, to encourage you to pray in the Holy Spirit. Get to know this God who said he is love. It's what he is. He can't be anything else but love. And to love one another. Because when you're operating in love, that's when you're the most spiritual. Because you're being like God. Yeah? And Jesus is coming soon. He directed me very pointedly to tell you and remind you he is coming soon. So go out and love people and bring them in to his love and tell them. So won't you say this with me? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you that these women are free. Father, I thank you that these women go out and they operate in the spirit of love. Oh, Father, I thank you that you have commissioned me to commission them to go out and walk in love and to lay aside every weight that would so easily try to hold them back from running their race, that they finish their course with joy. Yes, God, we know that you said that you will complete the good work that you've begun in us. But Father, I pray that they get up out of their chairs. They get up out of their houses and they get out into the streets. They come into Rhema. They go into their churches and make a difference. They lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But most of all, Father, they come to know you in a clearer and brighter way. That they experience the love of God for themselves. That they don't have to just know it by someone else and speak of it as if it's a third party thing. But they can speak of it from experience because they have experienced the love that you have for them in such a real and tangible way. So they genuinely can say, I am free! I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! Hallelujah! Oh! Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We serve an amazing God. Hallelujah. So I look forward to hearing testimonies of what the Lord is doing on your behalf. Report to Pastor Haley. Go to the testimony booth on your way out. Tell your testimony what the Lord has done in your life from the conference and what. And if you're looking for my book, No One Could Know, at myname.com, kristengray.com. But if there's someone here where you're considering going to Rhema, I can say you'll be mightily blessed. So if that's you, if you're sitting on the fence wondering what to do, just go ahead and get the form and talk it out with Pastor Haley or some of the staff here and investigate and see what the Lord will do for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Haley.
Is team ready too? Thank you, Kristen. Thank you. Did y'all love this lady? Amen.
Can I get a selfie with us?
Oh, sorry. We're going to do a selfie real quick.
Okay. Is that okay with you guys? Can you stand up? Okay.
I need this.
Oh, hang on. Oh, no, you're okay.
You have to all be smiling.
Oh, my God, free!
You could do my long arms.
No. Okay, your arms are longer than mine.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys, we trust that God started a great work in your life. I know he started some last year. Y'all can say it. I know he did some last year, some this year. You know, Kristen just said this. We started out talking about the elephant and being strong and being courageous and being dangerous.